We'll be right back. I'm a jackass.
Hey, welcome to I'm Trying to Think, episode 2. I am your host, Chuck Werner, and with me as always is my co-host, Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hello.
I'm Trying to Think is sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. If you can't spell imtryingtothink.com, you should use Google. And welcome to another week of our fabulous podcast. We started out there with Spirits in a Material World by The Police. And Dave, I really love that song. That's why I wanted it to play as the opening this week.
It's a good song.
It is a good song, and I also I take its lyrics to heart. Although I would, you know, as a naturalist, and that is not a person who doesn't wear clothes.
No, that's a nakedist. It's nakedist, nudist, right?
But yeah, sometimes, you know, those two things overlap. It's not that even that I love nature, although I do.
No, that's a botanist, nothing, right? That would be a botanist.
Or an entomologist or whatever.
No, just botanist. Pretty sure it's just botanist.
All right. The naturalism refers to the belief that everything in the universe arises from natural causes and can be explained through natural causes, and you know, there's no such thing as a supernatural entity or magic or anything of that nature.
Right.
So I would change the lyrics to that song to read possibly, "We are emergent phenomena, rising from completely natural reasons, which exist inside the corpus that we call a body in a material world."
You know, on a sheer philosophical level, I agree with you. But I've got to say, I'm looking around the wall, you know, there's some nice stuff on the wall, but I see no gold records, and I think there's a reason for that, because that is clunky as hell. That is a real stinker of a
time. Well, maybe that would just be in the refrain somewhere. Or not the the verse somewhere, and then
okay.
The refrain would just be something simpler. But I mean, there's a, you know, the dual nature of the word materialism as well, because there's the materialism which we refer to in our society sort of as the need to acquire goods, or
versus philosophical materialism,
which is the belief that
there is no dual.
There's no duality.
Yeah, there's
the
no
universe,
duality.
Right.
There simply is the material world, and there is not a thing above that.
Which is ties right back into naturalism.
Right.
But even despite that, despite my materialism, philosophically, I think of myself as a more spiritual person than most other people, simply because...
So a more emergent phenomenon...
Emergent phenomenon person, right.
Person.
Right, because I really think...
Clunky!
Okay, I don't have another term. But I really think that, you know, the important things in life, if you will, are found within that emergent phenomena. I think that, you know, the emergent phenomena of intelligence, personality, things like that, are more important than the sort of illusion that we've built on top of them of material wealth and
possessions
and things like that. You know, I feel that people, it's sort of an emergent phenomenon on top of an emergent phenomena. And actually this ties to something that we've talked about before in the video, The Ignorance of Chicken, or the
right.
Lecture, The Ignorance of Chicken by Slavoj Žižek.
Mm-hmm.
That we have this sort of multiple layers of things. We have the phenomenon of intelligence, which is really difficult to explain, and people spend their entire lives trying to come up with a way to explain it.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to attempt that.
At least one book on the subject,
yeah.
And even that didn't do a great job.
It's really hard to explain.
It's confusing. It's tough.
But we see it. We can begin to see it as an emergent phenomena. An emergent phenomena is something that manifests out of a set of simple rules. There's a more complex thing emerges.
Right. Like, for example, you take 8 simple rules for dating my teenage daughter, and a sitcom comes out.
Right. And then
I can't believe you agreed with that example.
No, it's a very good example. It's a very good example.
From explaining this, but continue.
It's a great example. It's an awesome example. No, but you could take simple rules of a computer, for instance, which every computer program breaks down to a binary system of OR and, you know, XOR, NOR, things like that, logic gates. And those logic gates are built into something as complex as a computer game or Microsoft Word, for instance. And sometimes then intelligence emerges on top of those, like Clippy. So, but that's what sort of the example of the emergent phenomena. But then you go beyond that. So people become self-aware. They're able to, you know, be introspective, think deeply, come up with complex philosophical thought, know
and
themselves.
And tell you how to save a document.
And say, tell you, do you want to save it? It looks like you're making a resume. Mm-hmm. So you have the emergent phenomena of intelligence. But then we have this, like, second degree of emergent phenomena, which is built up over the last couple thousand years of logic.
So kind of
language.
Like cultural emergent phenomena?
Right. Culture has emerged from intelligence, intelligence being its own emergent phenomena. And then you have culture that emerges from that, where we start to delve into things like materialism and the love of possessions and sort of that
right.
religion.
And now when you're saying materialism, you mean... like, not philosophical materialism,
right.
But
rather...
oh, I need a new iPod materialism.
Exactly.
Right? Also, I do, incidentally.
You do need it.
Yeah, I'm strongly thinking about a touch.
You're just proving my point.
I know.
That's
continue.
Awesome, though.
So,
we have Slavoj Žižek, to just keep talking about him, because this is practically his show.
Yeah, although I will say, we haven't actually talked about it in episodes that we didn't throw away, but, you know, we can totally post the lecture in, like, show notes.
Yeah.
We'll post a link to it. It's all good.
But he talks about, you know, the idea that possessions... well, I mean, he's talking vaguely about the idea of possessions owning people, but really about people attributing qualities to possessions that they don't have. And although he criticizes Buddhism, I think Buddhism ties into that also by saying that we think that X is just some thing. Everybody has something or things that they think, if I possess those things, I will be happy.
Let's just say, for purposes of example, just to make it a little more concrete, let's say maybe like a 16-gig iPod Touch.
16-gig iPod Touch, right.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So you have a person, let's say you have this person who's just... mm-hmm. completely and blithely ignorant of the fact that although they have attributed this magical quality to a 16
gigabyte
iPod Touch.
And again, I think
iPod
just to make
Touch,
this example more concrete, let's call that person Dave.
I was going to go with Jimbo, but I'll go with Dave.
Okay.
All right, so Dave, let's call this person Dave, this theoretical Dave, has attributed magical qualities to a 16 gigabyte iPod Touch. Like, that object will make me happy. It will complete me. Suddenly, the things that aren't being fulfilled in my life will be fulfilled. And the illusion continues, and we actually then come to possess these things. And then here's where it gets really creepy for me. One of two things happens. Either sort of that attribute, that property we've attributed to the things becomes manifest, or immediately we realize... sort of that it's not, and we just kind of forget about the whole thing and move on.
Right.
And eventually, though, even if the beliefs become manifest and we do feel complete, the feeling lasts a very short amount of time. So you have these, just, it's like a double emergent phenomenon. I think it's really amazing. I try to live as far back in the emergent phenomena as possible.
Uh-huh.
Because I think that's where... the self-delusion comes in, and I'm not going to cast dispersions on anything, but let's face facts, the idea of religion is kind of an emergent phenomenon on top of an emergent phenomenon. Intelligent beings
in that
come
it's cultural.
Yeah. Well, and intelligent beings come to exist and then attempt to explain the world around them and don't sort of rely on the world around them to explain the world around them. So, you know, just a sort of whole new level of supernatural belief. Right. Superstition is, you know, sort of the similar thing, and you can see that occur in animal intelligence, and it's funny. Because it turns out, you know, if you feed a chicken or a pigeon...
It's like the rats pushing the lever for a reward, right. And you take away the reward, they'll keep pushing the hell out of that lever.
They will. And you can see it easily in pigeons. Like, if you feed the pigeons at a certain time or whatever, I mean, it's independent of what the chicken is doing or pigeon is doing, the pigeon will develop a belief that, oh, if I twist my head this way, that's why I get the food. And they'll continue to do that behavior even when it doesn't result in a reward.
Right.
And what I'm saying here is basically... Sting has continued to release albums in a superstitious manner, even though really, let's face it, Fields of Gold is pretty much the only good thing he's done since leaving the Police. Topic. Witnesseth.
Okay, so one thing I wanted to mention is, because, you know, it's something I'm kind of excited about in my life generally, and two, it's got its points that are kind of ridiculous, is that I signed a lease for a new apartment this year. Like, I signed the lease, like, a couple days ago.
Yes, you're a free man now. You are not a number. You are a free man.
Yes, because there's nothing that marks glorious freedom like being bound by another contract, another legal contract. So I'm excited for that. Yeah, it's going to be my place alone.
But you're excited because now there will not be jelly on your floor at random intervals in your life.
Yes. Or if there is, I can at least stand up and be like, my bad, that's the jelly I put on the floor because I'm an ass, you know?
And would you be standing up and saying these things about jelly to yourself?
Yeah, probably.
I would,
why not?
I wouldn't do that too much if I were you.
Yeah, that's probably eventually I'm going to realize that's a waste of effort. But anyhow, circling back around to the point I was going towards.
Can I talk about one thing real quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Do you think if you got lonely, since now you're living alone, if you put up a 24/7 webcast of yourself, you would feel less lonely?
I don't know. I think that seems, on one hand, there would... You know, theoretically, people might be watching it, and... But that seems vaguely alienating to me.
It was just a thought I came up with. Like, what if you felt lonely? I haven't lived alone, in a long, long time. So, it's hard for me to imagine what that's like.
I mean, I know a decade ago, actually, I did the research before I signed the lease, and it turns out a decade ago, a handyman... in the building, was putting cameras in vents.
So he could make you less lonely.
So theoretically...
You could just feel less lonely because maybe a handyman's watching you.
Yeah, on one hand, probably wouldn't be because it was only apparently in ladies' apartments.
That seems to make sense. That does seem like a modus operandi for a handyman.
But yeah, so I guess...
But you gotta wonder...
When I'm feeling lonely, I can think, you know... Maybe there's a masturbating handyman in the basement.
Just to keep...
Because it was rooted to a monitor in the basement. Genetic material was involved. But this was, like, again, it was a decade ago, so it's the pre, you know, CSI Miami days, so they couldn't, you know, rip off the sunglasses and figure out that directly link it to him.
So, I'm wondering how, if you're the handyman, how do you get caught being the handyman spying on people? Doesn't another handyman have to come in to be like, oh, what's going on in this vent?
No, I read up. Basically, apparently one thing is, like, people in the apartment just generally felt weird. Which is, that's kind of an interesting thing, how humans can consciously or unconsciously sense this sort of thing.
But also, probably sense something more creepy from the handyman.
But then someone's brother, like... was staying in the apartment over a Christmas break or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just found the cameras.
Oops.
Yep.
Think harder next time, handyman. Anyways, continue with your bit.
Okay, so anyhow, one thing when I signed this lease that kind of blew my mind is that the landlord, sort of, you know, nice older lady, you know, is apparently basically using this, instead of using the sort of modern common lease for the state.
Right.
Is using basically what I assume was the, basically the common lease when she was starting in the business.
Okay.
Which is maybe 30, 40 years ago.
All right, so...
So this lease that I signed is about like a half decade old.
All right.
Kind of amazing for the... When I just said a half decade, that's really unimpressive. I meant a half century.
Yeah, a half century. A half decade would be...
Yeah.
That's that how old my lease is.
Yeah, that would be about how old the standard lease would probably be. Yeah. But anyhow...
Go ahead.
Basically, just to start, like, the lease at the top, you know, it uses a real kind of black letter font, you know, for those of you who aren't, you know, font dorks like myself. That means, you know, it's basically, it looks like, you know, a font from the Constitution or, you know, a Magna Carta.
It does look like John Hancock was involved.
Mm-hmm. The first paragraph of my lease opens with the word witnesseth, which is exciting.
Is that actually a word?
Yeah. I mean, it's the word witness and, you know, F in, you know, that ending, you know, Shakespearean kind of thing.
Yeah, but I don't really know if that still counts as a part of our language.
Not anymore. Not so much. Honestly, I don't think people were saying it that much in the 50s or whatever the hell this lease was made.
Yeah, that's what makes me think. Maybe she's in the, you know, Society for Creative Anachronism, or maybe she thinks she's a, maybe she's a dungeon master.
It's very possible, but...
As a Dungeons & Dragons Dungeon Master, not like a, you know, yeah, kinky Dungeon Master. Kinky,
no. I don't think so. That's not the read I get. I mean, I could be wrong. It's the quiet ones who are, you know, old lady dominatrixes, but...
All right, so assuming she's not an old lady dominatrix.
Yeah, moving on. Just a couple other interesting clauses in the lease. There's one thing where, again, it's kind of speaking to the age of it. It in several places mentions... The possibility of my servants?
Well, you should really look into having servants anyways.
Like, how much does a servant cost now?
Well, given the current economy, I would think you could hire one fairly cheap. And I mean, I hear stories about migrant workers. I've never met any, but...
I don't know, though. I feel like that's the sort of people you hire for, you know, if you have a task, maybe... But I feel like servant implies sort of... I'm not going to lie. I'll just say it straight out. It implies an English guy. It implies an English guy.
Are you saying somebody named Pratt Jeeves or...
Yes.
Jameson or something like that?
Yeah, something along those lines.
All right. Well, you're also renting an apartment. Who has room for a servant in their apartment?
Yeah, in a one-bedroom, that's...
I mean, is he going to sleep on the couch? Does he have his own home?
I'm not sure. There's a lot of things about the servant relationship I don't know.
I mean, maybe he's supposed to have his own home, and he goes there at night.
And he commutes.
Yeah, he commutes.
A commuter servant?
Yeah, it's a commuter servant. You know, he has his own wife and kids to take care of. Maybe his own servants, who he has to pay.
Huh. That seems like it gets kind of fractal quickly.
Yeah, it could become problematic because, you know, if you're working as a servant, and you have a servant... And that servant has a servant. Somebody's got to make stuff at some point. Otherwise, the society's going to break down.
From what I understand, I think the person who makes stuff is mostly the cobbler, right? So everyone has shoes. But
what
I think
if,
that's it.
Do you think the cobbler has a servant, or...
Yeah, of course.
That's okay. That makes sense, then. I think we figured it all out.
But I digress, because that was... Yeah. Anyhow, next... clause that was sort of amused me just in terms of the wording mostly.
Right on.
I'll just quote this directly. What is it? Lessee shall not bring into or keep any explosive or obnoxious substances, excelsior or other inflammable or combustible matter upon the leased premises.
Excelsior?
Yeah, there's a couple of things in that sort of confuse me. There's one, I have no idea what the word excelsior is doing there. I don't know what that means
is
in
that
this
a
context.
Brand name?
No, it's non-capitalized. It's
Excelsior.
It seems like it's in the list of types of substances.
All right. I'm not familiar with that. The internet might be able to tell us more.
Yeah, check that while I continue. And then I'll say the other thing that was kind of amused me about this clause or actually failed to be amusing about this clause, is probably more noticeable at the end of this story, is that, because, you know, before I signed this, because, you know, I'm the type of person who I like to think is, you know, not stupid, I was reading this before signing it, because, you know, it's a legally binding document, therefore I would like to read it before signing it.
All right.
And, you know, I was kind of talking with, you know, the landlady while we were doing it, and when I got to this thing about obnoxious substances, you know, at this point, like, you know, it's like, you know, we'd been having a pretty good, you know, landlady-tenant rapport going, so, you know, so, you know, I'd make a little joke, you know, see if she's, you know, maybe a fun, you know, older lady, you know, maybe like a Betty White kind of thing.
I don't see
you
this
know,
going well.
Rapping grandma kind of thing.
Rapping grandma.
You know.
I would, I think that's a little bit beyond hope, but keep going.
So, when I saw, basically, and I will freely admit, you know, this is not a material. This was not a good joke. You know, it was just supposed to be, you know, you're reading Elise. It's cute. You know, whatever.
You're just testing out material
you
for,
move
your,
on.
For your DVD, for your stand-up routine.
Yeah. No, mostly I was just, it was just throwing out feelers where it's like, this is something that would, that theoretically might be funny.
To
so
your
maybe
average person.
No, basically I was just seeing if she would recognize a joke.
All right, well, you know? Let's see how this goes.
It's a trial balloon joke.
Let's see how this goes.
So I just put out something, you know, I say, so, you know, no obnoxious substances, you know. That could be a problem when I invite my friends. You know, joke, you know. Not great, but, you know, haha, my friends are obnoxious.
I get
you
that.
Know, you get it.
That, as one of your friends, I take offense, but go ahead.
Did not get it at all.
She didn't get it?
No.
Did she think your friends were going to be bringing obnoxious substances? Or?
I don't know, because I don't know if she knows what that means either. She just was confused at what I was saying. I had to rapid, like, basically, you know, I kind of waited for that pause. It was like, you know, when a crowd of one person doesn't get the joke, it's a lot like just when a crowd doesn't get the joke. It's the awkward silence.
Yeah.
And then just quick backpedaling. Oh, no, no, I just meant a joke because my friends are, you know, and explaining the whole thing.
Oh,
awkward.
Terrible.
Awkward. Yeah.
That hurts me.
It hurt me, too.
All right, well.
Okay, moving on.
Do we want to pause for a moment? I know what Excelsior possibly refers to.
Oh, explain.
Wood wool, known primarily as Excelsior in North America, is a product made of wood slivers cut from logs, mainly used in packaging for the cooling pads and home evaporative cooling systems known as swamp coolers, for erosion gnats, or as a raw material for the production of other products such as bonded wood, wool boards. It's, I don't know, I've never heard of it, which is interesting. I've heard of a lot of things, and this is new to me, but that, apparently, wood wool, you're not allowed to be bringing into your apartment.
I'll have to donate mine to Goodwill then, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, then there's a clause which I basically, for short, call the Footloose Clause.
The Footloose Clause?
Yeah, you know, I'll just, again, give the whole thing for that quickly. And, you know, I actually asked about this one, and basically, she just means, you know, don't be a loud jerk at inappropriate times. But the actual clause, legally, is much more restrictive.
Go ahead.
Lessee shall not bring upon the premises any musical instruments of any kind, excepting a radio or television set, nor permit any musical instruments to be used upon said premises except a radio or television set. The playing of radios or the use of television sets shall be restricted to the hours between 9 a.m. and 11 p.m. on weekdays and from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Sundays.
I want to break in here for a moment.
Yep.
Radios and televisions, I'm
not
pretty sure, are not musical instruments.
No, no. They generate noise, I guess.
And some may play music on it, but it's certainly not an instrument.
No, there's a lot of things that are wrong with that clause, and that's one of them.
All right, well, continue.
No, I mean, that's pretty much that clause.
That's your Footloose Clause?
Yeah.
That's your standard Footloose Clause, though.
Mm-hmm.
No dancing. Is there a no dancing on the premises sort of thing?
No, no.
Are you not allowed to house more than, like, two women?
No, that's fine.
You know, I know that, obviously, I know you were just humming the Three's Company tune. And I know that Three's Company is about John Ritter pretending to be gay because he has two female roommates. I don't really get what was the limit there. What was Mr. Hooper or whoever doing to make them not have female roommates or male roommates with female? I don't know. What was going on?
Okay.
What obscure piece of 70s culture was preventing them from living together happily?
I think the idea of that, one, just to be vaguely pedantic, Mr. Roper. Mr. Hooper is the grocer on Sesame Street.
Well, Mr. Hooper might have been doing double duty. You don't know. I mean, when Mr. Roper was on vacation, who do you think looked after the place?
I just assumed it was Mr. Whipple.
No, are you kidding me? Do you know how much toilet paper that guy had to look for?
That's true. He was busy. He was pretty busy.
He had to protect it.
Okay, anyhow, I think the obscure bit of... I think it was just sort of a personal landlord morality thing.
All right.
Where... And, you know, now that I'm thinking about this, I find it odd that the type of person who has a morality clause such that he wouldn't want an unmarried man with two female roommates would be like, oh, but it's okay if he's a homosexual.
Yeah, I don't get it.
That's the part where it breaks down now that I think about it.
Yes. That whole show was flimsy at best. I'm only now realizing the flaws with Three's Company. All right, well... Is there anything else funny in your lease you'd like to share?
Yeah, there's one clause that looks like it was lifted from Prohibition-era leases, which is kind of fun. But that's not actually funny to read. It's just sort of funny that in addition to the clause that says, don't break the law, there's another clause that says, and don't break liquor laws. So that's kind of odd.
Okay. Did they also don't break animal sex laws?
No.
They didn't feel the need to point out every single law that you shouldn't break?
No, just liquor.
Well, that's, you know, at least... You won't get double punished for making pornography in your apartment.
Yeah, just the main. Actually, I might, because I'm also not supposed... It's not zoned commercially.
That's what I mean, yeah. But they didn't say also don't break pornography laws.
That's true, but there are laws about what you can, and there are some spots in the lease about not using it as commercial space, so that might skirt.
Oh, yeah.
That might get me double dinged.
That will get you double dinged.
Which actually would be a good name for the porn I'm going to shoot there.
Double Ding, starring... What is your porn name?
Biff Ripson.
Double Ding, starring Biff Ripson. Tonight on Cinemax. That'd be good. I think you'll get rave reviews for that. Topic. Going Gaga. Today, I was listening to a playlist. Just, you know, some random songs, basically. And U2's Where the Streets Have No Name came on.
Right.
And I've listened to that song for a long time now. I like the song. It's a solid, good song. It sounds very poetic. What I realized, though, as I listened to it this time, and I don't know why I thought of this, but I don't know where he means. I thought for a second, to myself... What's he talking about? Where is the place where the streets have no names?
I think it's a little town. Like a little, tiny little town.
And, well, maybe, but... And I thought to myself, is it a metaphor for heaven? And I thought...
No, because that would be confusing.
Maybe it's a metaphor for heaven.
The streets in heaven have names, and it's laid out in an easy-to-navigate grid basis.
No, the streets in heaven probably don't have names, because you just always know where you are.
No...
No,
but then how do you tell other people where a good club in heaven is?
You'd say...
It's on...
No, they already know. You just say, that club that's good. And they go, oh, I know the one you mean. There aren't any bad clubs in heaven. All the clubs are equally good.
No, I think there's some shitty clubs in
heaven. No, because no one would go to them.
Well, yeah, but remember, here's the thing. Someone's dream in life was to own a certain kind of club. That kind of club may be objectively shitty. But heaven's not going to close it down. He's got his club in heaven.
Regardless, there are no... In my heaven, there are no street names. Okay? Also, did you know that Where the Streets Have No Names is the intro music for the Baltimore Ravens?
Oh, no. That makes me like it less.
Yeah, I mean, that just makes it almost completely unlikable. So, I continue to listen to the lyrics, you know, and when I go there... I go there with you. I still don't know what he's talking about.
Pretty sure it's a small town.
A small town?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it says on the Wikipedia,
not that I believe... Which is your arbiter for the truth,
yes. Yeah, not that I believe
necessarily. The ultimate arbiter for correctness.
That Bono was inspired to write the lyrics by the notion that it's possible to identify a person's religion by the street on which they lived. particularly in Belfast. And although their income, and also their income, depending on the part of the street. So the idea for the song is apparently that if the streets don't have names, then we'll have equality. And no one will fight.
Also, it's like Stephen Colbert, I Can't See Color. It's
right.
That kind of thing.
It's that kind of thing.
It's like, if the streets have no name, then the you know, Catholic Protestant problem of Ireland goes
right.
away.
And you'd think that anyone involved in that conflict, like Bono, anyone involved in that conflict, even peripherally, would say, you know what? No matter what you take away from people, they will find something to fight about. No matter how much they have in common, people will blow each other up over something, no matter how small it is. I mean, I know there was years and years of oppression and such in Ireland, but the fact that they kept fighting well after that sort of stuff had you know, subsided just goes to show. They will fight
also,
because their mothers, mothers, mothers,
I mean, every
father
regional
fought.
Conflict in the world is, you know, fighty in that way.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
A lot of times there was a reason for conflict in a region, then the reason stopped and the conflict keeps going, yeah.
So where the streets have no names lyrics song, the song is apparently about making peace by removing street names. Whatever.
Okay,
so,
moving on.
Next song in the playlist was Pretty in Pink.
Mm-hmm.
Another song I've listened to 1,000 times. More than that. I don't know. 100,000 times. Okay, maybe
no,
not that
more
much.
Than that. 20 million times.
20 million times documented in a book I've listened to Pretty in Pink. I'll
His
put it on Wikipedia.
Diary is pretty much just like dates,
and it'll be true.
Like November 12th, 1994. Listen to Pretty in Pink.
Listen to Pretty in Pink.
3 times.
So Psychedelic Furs are a great band. I like Pretty in Pink. But that's a song that I'm more aware of that I've never really figured out what the lyrics are about. I think there might be a funeral involved.
You know, sometimes the verses just muddy things up. Here's what Pretty in Pink is about, okay?
Okay.
There's a girl.
Right.
She's pretty.
Okay.
She wears pink. Done. Next. Over. You know, don't muck it up by thinking about the verses. That will steer you wrong.
Well, the funny thing about it is that the movie Pretty in Pink by John Hughes was inspired by the song Pretty in Pink.
Right. Again, he heard the song. He's like, girl, pretty, pink. I can make a movie out of this.
And I don't understand how you do that. I don't know what the song's about. How do you make a movie inspired by the song if you don't know what the song's about?
I think he had my sense of the song, is how he did it. Just, you know, girl, pretty, pink, you know, idea. I'm writing this.
But,
done.
Okay, well, I have to admit, I don't remember anything about the movie Pretty in Pink. So I can't really tell you how well it relates to the song, in my opinion. I know Molly Ringwald was in it, right?
Yeah, there's Molly Ringwald. There's the scene where adults embarrass her about Lady Puberty. That's all I remember.
Lady Puberty.
Yeah.
You're always so sensitive when you talk about this sort of thing. but there's just...
I've been more specific, but I don't remember which Lady Puberty issue was being mocked.
I don't remember at all. I didn't see that. But here's a line from Pretty in Pink. The one who insists he was first in the line is the last to remember her name. What the... What? This brings us around, though, to something that we've talked about briefly. And that's the Lady Gaga songs that are popular right now. Now, some people might not know... I mean, Pretty in Pink and Where the Streets Have No Names. If you don't know what those songs are, stop the podcast. Go find the songs. I mean, just go to your neighbor's house, knock on the door, and say, hey, I've never heard the song Pretty in Pink. I've never heard the song Where the Streets Have No Names. Fix me.
Yeah, I disagree. Don't stop the podcast, because, I mean, they're not going to pick it back up. We can't... We have momentum going.
Okay, don't stop the podcast. But after the podcast is over, we'll put a reminder at the end of the podcast. If you don't know, go fix it. So, the Lady Gaga song, though, Poker Face, people might not know. So why don't you just play us a little tidbit of that, just so people can be like, oh, I heard that song once in a Target.
Yeah, sure. I'll punch in a little of that.
There you go. Can't read my, no, we can't read them. So, okay, that's Poker Face. That song has grown on me, not in a way where I think it's a good song, but in a way where I like to listen to it because it makes my ears feel good.
Yeah, you know? It's like that. It's a good pop song in that way where it's not where it's a bad song.
Right. We've discussed before what it's about, and your theory was very interesting.
Again, I think, like, in retrospect, it was wrong, but I thought it was kind of a Lola thing about questionable sexuality.
I don't see how you're wrong. I'm here to reinforce your theory.
And possibly, yeah, it may also be about date rape. Because basically, I'm just going to say the couplet.
I think it's about date raping a guy, but a date rape performed by a guy who's disguised as a woman on another guy.
Yes,
that's what I think is going on here. Transvestite or transsexual, depending on his orientation,
mm-hmm.
on guy violence. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think for me, the lines that kind of cement that for me is as simple as, just, I'll get you high, show you what a guy. Because I have no idea what else that means.
Yeah, the funny part about that is that those aren't the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
It's, I'll get him hot, show him what I've got. Ah. But that's okay. That's okay because you're reinforced by other parts of the song.
Okay.
All right.
Because that does annihilate my case, straight up. But rebuild it for me, please.
I want to roll with him, a hard pair we will be. A little gambling is fun when you're with me. Russian roulette is not the same without a gun. And baby, when it's love, if it's not rough, it isn't fun. Okay?
Right.
Now, that paints a little bit of a picture, but you're not quite there yet. The Russian roulette...
The hard pair, you're close.
The hard pair gets you close. But we can get to the end where she kind of does this breakdown thing. I won't tell you that I love you, kiss or hug you, cause I'm bluffing with my muffin. I'm not lying, I'm just stunning with my love glue gunning.
Really?
Yes. Like, those are the lyrics.
Really?
Those are the lyrics. If that is not, I'm hiding a penis and we are going to have some fun whether you like it or not, I don't know what is.
Yeah, that's definitely some penis hiding. That's
what the hell else is a love glue gunning? That's all I want to know. With my love glue gunning. There's no other interpretation for that lyric.
I can't think of any, honestly. That's...
And I'm bluffing with my muffin? Come on! It's plain language. It's English, people.
Barely.
It's barely, but... I don't know that then it kind of goes into another direction. Just like a chick in the casino, take your bank before I pay you out. I promise this, check this hand because I'm marvelous. You know, that's just...
It's a very big hand. Very big hand.
Man hands, yeah. So, I'm with you. That song is about somebody hiding a penis. Tucking. That's mm-hmm. all I'm saying. You know, Goodbye Horses playing in the background.
Right.
The whole thing. But you've also had a comment about Lady Gaga's other song, which is called Just Dance. So let's play a bit of that so people get familiar with it.
Yeah, sure. If we must.
Here we go. Okay, that's Just Dance. All right. It's, you know. It's a song that people play. But you have a comment about this song, too.
This song just worries me. Like, I get what she was lyrically going for, I guess, where it's... Because basically, it's a genre of pop song that it fits solidly into.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's basically, you know, I don't care what's going on. I just want to dance. You know, and that's a well-established, I think, you know...
Meme.
Trope of a dance pop song. And that's fine. Pop song,
right.
But the problem is... Her version of I don't care what's going on around me, of that part of that before the I just want to dance.
It might go a little far.
Like, it's so sketching, like, it's almost sort of like stark in its novelistic detail of just like this first person account of just a person who is way too fucking drunk to be doing anything.
Yeah, this person should be removed from any social. Should
go home and maybe have some water, like, and cab for, like, basically, as you can probably tell from me right now, this song where it's supposed to just, like, the first part you just kind of sweep under the rug and then, yeah, we just want to dance too. Like, this song just makes me agitated and worried.
Makes you worry about our children or Lady Gaga in particular?
No, it makes me, I mean, no, I'm aware of how fiction and you know, songwriting and such work, but, I mean, I'm not like, oh, that poor woman, you know, but it's just, it makes me, I don't know, it's just the lyrics make me nervous.
All right, so, the lyrics start out kind of okay, you know, I've had a little bit too much, all the people start to rush by, how does he twist the dance? Can't find a drink, oh man. Okay, well, yeah. Where are my keys? I lost my phone. Okay, now you're completely helpless. You can't drive home because you can't
She can't drive home anyway. She's completely lost.
But somebody has her keys, Dave.
Which is actually probably good. But
yeah, I mean,
she doesn't probably know who, which is bad.
Yeah, she probably shouldn't.
But I think really the chorus is where it just falls apart for me. If I know which part of the song is the chorus.
Just dance, 100%. Gonna be okay. I guess it's gonna be okay, I don't know. Just dance, spin that record, babe. Just dance, gonna be okay, dance. Okay, blah, blah.
I was wrong about the chorus. But it was a different part that concerns me, I guess.
It just gets worse, though. Wish I could shut my Playboy mouth. How'd I turn my shirt inside out? Control your poison, babe. Roses have thorns, they say. And we're all getting hosed tonight. I don't know. Maybe it's a club with a hose, though.
Yeah.
To be fair, she may have a... I mean, she may be in a club with a hose.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah. So, from there it goes, what's going on the floor? I love this record, but I can't see straight anymore. Keep it cool. What's the name of this club? I can't remember, but it's all right. Okay, well, maybe if you're clubbing... Sometimes I've been in places and I'm like, what's the name of this place again? Because you just go in, you know, or whatever. That doesn't happen often in my life.
But... Yeah, and there's also the can't see straight thing is troubling.
Like... But I think, yeah, I think she can't remember because that's how much she's had to drink. This could be like her house. She doesn't know where she's at.
Yeah, it's troubling. It troubles me.
When I come through on the dance floor checking out that catalog, can't believe my eyes, so many women without a flaw. Now see, here's where I'm starting to think again, she's a dude. Maybe Lady Gaga isn't a dude, but I think she's singing all of her songs from the perspective of a passing man, as they would call them.
I don't think anyone would call them that, actually.
But... That's what they used to call them. But, I don't know. I'm slightly concerned about her, Dave, but I'm also concerned... What about the children, man? What about the children? Because the children are listening to this song.
I have actually seen a video on the internet of a children's chorus, like, music class. Right. Of a children's music class singing the song we're currently discussing, which is a little bit...
That's disturbing on a whole new level.
Yeah, it's disturbing on a couple levels. I'll throw it in the show notes.
When Kids Bop 57 comes out, and you've got 40 kids singing Let's Dance. That's not good.
No, it's... I'm trying to think, you know, this is something I'm going to say we should research either for the next show or in, like, the next 10 minutes, depending on, you know, how we do it. But
right.
We should see what the most offensive songs in Kids Bop have been.
Oh, we can do a whole... Because I'm curious. We can do a whole bit on that. We'll get back to that, I think.
We'll roll back to that future show.
I just don't understand these kids today with their lyrics. I mean, why...
Also, their low-waisted pants.
Why can't we get back to wholesome lyrics? Like Cecilia by Paul Simon.
Bitches Ain't Shit.
Or Bitches Ain't Shit, yeah. I was going to go with Cecilia, which is apparently about how slutty his girlfriend is.
Or how much is that doggy in the window?
I think that's...
Yeah, that's also about trans
men. I think that's about whores, actually.
That's about trans men.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Waggly tail.
Damn. That explains a lot about my elementary school music classes. Yeah. bad news.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy is for sale. I must take a trip.
I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute at foundation-institute.org. Planning for the future and tomorrow. And you know, Dave, I know one thing that the Foundation Institute does better than anyone else.
I can maybe think of... yeah, none. But what's the one?
Potato salad.
Really?
The, yeah, the invitational that we went to. Did you have some of that potato salad?
No, actually, because I am against philosophically mayonnaise.
Yeah, well, that's holding you back, because this was delicious stuff. Little bits of celery and stuff. It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And, I really just wanted to thank Dr. Professor Goldberg for the ribs. Those were delicious.
Dr. Professor?
Yeah, he's Dr. Professor Goldberg.
Oh, Professor's the name, right. I remember getting confused when I met him about that.
Right, yeah, his parents had high hopes.
Yeah.
And I think he's mostly fulfilled them.
Yeah, though, I wonder if there's a lingering sort of... just a faint tinge of resentment in his family that he did not stay in academia.
Did you meet his parents? I heard they were there, but I didn't meet them.
I don't think I did. I'm just saying, because, you know, because he's doc. Clearly they wanted a professor.
Yeah, I mean, he's a doctor professor.
That I think that might be slightly disappointing that he, you know, went the, you know, again, the private.
Well, he gives lectures. So it's not that he isn't a professor. But it's just that he's a doctor professor.
He's not a professor. You know, he's not affiliated with, you know, a university anymore.
Well, regardless.
You know, after, you know.
Yeah. But thank you, Mr. Dr. Professor Goldberg, the delicious ribs. And thank you to everyone at the Foundation Institute for sponsoring this podcast. I'm Trying to Think.
Yeah. We appreciate it. You know, lets us keep going. You know, it lets us have these facilities. And, Chuck, I hate to say it, but I think Mr. Professor, Dr. Professor was gilding the lily. That was too many titles.
I like my lilies gilded. And we're back. This has been a great episode. Episode 2 of I'm Trying to Think.
Yeah, I think we discussed a lot of the pressing philosophical issues of our time, by which I mean one pressing philosophical issue, a bunch of music, and a legal contract that I signed.
Lyrics are important, though. I mean, a lot of people listen to them. They have their role in our society.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's good to get out there that Lady Gaga's singing about her love glue gunning.
I don't know. I think I might have been better off not knowing that, honestly.
Well, ignorance is not bliss. I don't care what people say. Ignorance is what makes you think that Lady Gaga isn't...
is not singing about a love glue gunning.
Love glue gunning. I can't get over that lyric.
Yeah, you seem pretty caught up on it, yeah.
I think it will haunt me for the rest of my days.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Yeah.
You know, in that case, honestly, and this is actually something I've been thinking about a bit recently, like, if something like that is going to haunt you for the rest of your days, then, to me, that makes me towards you have the same reaction that I have when someone, like, you know, sees, like, a song they liked in a commercial and is like, oh, now it's been ruined. Or, you know, someone sees, you know, this new Alvin and the Chipmunks movie that's coming out is raping my childhood. Like, and basically, to me, what any of those three reactions tells me is just, you are weak. Shame on you. Like, if, you know, if a new stupid movie or, you know, if your memories of, you know, a song or, you know, shitty cartoon show or something that you ostensibly love.
All right.
If your memories of that thing are so weak that a new thing that is similar or that thing in a different context can actually ruin and supplant those memories, then those memories deserve to be ruined and supplanted because you didn't like it that much. So shut up about it. That's my general sort of feeling on that.
All right, Dave, but on the other hand, love glue gunning.
Yeah, that's fair.
So this has been episode 2 of I'm Trying to Think. I've been your host, Chuck Werner, and...
I've been Dave Stern.
You've been Dave Stern. And will you be Dave Stern next week when we continue this rampage of interest?
Unless I'm Kansas City Royals second baseman, Alberto, I don't even know his last name, so yeah, I'll probably stick with Dave Stern.
All right, good.
That was like a half joke. That was like an embryo joke, but then it just, in my brain, was just like, it was no, aborted. That's not a funny thing. Stop saying that thing.
It was aborted, is what you're saying?
Yeah, that was a joke portion.
Joke portions. You'll only find them here on I'm Trying to Think. We'll be with you again next week from this beautiful location with more topics of interest and intrigue. As always, you should visit our website at imtryingtothink.com. There's obviously no apostrophe in that, because apostrophes don't work.
That can't go there. You can't make that work. That's not a thing, no. So right. We don't.
Right. And visit our sponsor, the Foundation Institute, at foundation-institute.org. Dave, do we have an email address?
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can email contact@imtryingtothink.com.
And we'll see you all next week. Thank you for tuning in. Did you have a good time, Dave?
I did.
I had a good time. We'll do this again. Thank you, and good night.
Bye-bye.